Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today is the ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa, Mrs. Trine Thugesen. Welcome to the show, Ambassador.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ambassador, you've served your country for more than 20 years, and in that period you've held various positions. Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career?
Well, yes. I've actually been working for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs all of my professional career. I'm an economist by training, and I would say it was more luck than anything else that actually brought me to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I thought I was going to work in banking or something like that, but I got tempted because I was working in ex-Yugoslavia just during the first election as an election advisor there, and I sort of got really hung up or interested more in foreign policy. So I ended up in the ministry, and when you start as a diplomat there, you do all different kinds of things. So I've been doing support to civil society organizations, humanitarian support, EU. I've been posted in New York, so I've been doing a lot of work with the UN, also the World Bank. And then just before coming to South Africa, I was head of our human resource department in Copenhagen, which is something completely new to me, but which I found very interesting. I mean, the one and only resource the Ministry of Foreign Affairs actually has, that is the staff. So working with the staff and competence development, planning and recruiting and so on was really, really interesting. But then I got an excellent opportunity to come down here, and that was definitely an opportunity that I could not say no to.
And how long have you been in South Africa?
I've been here a bit more than a year now, so I'm sort of starting to understand a little bit, I guess.
And during your tenure here, are there any specific milestones that you want to accomplish during this period?
Well, yes, I think we're actually already working very hard towards those. When I came down here, it was soon very clear for me that there are a lot of areas where South Africa and Denmark can strengthen our cooperation. I mean, we have been partners for many, many years. Denmark has been supporting South Africa going towards democracy and been doing development assistance in South Africa for many years. Now it's a different kind of partnerships. It's more equal partnerships, focusing on economic cooperation, and especially in the terms of the water sector, the energy sector and agriculture, but also health and design, not just furniture, but also the notion of smart cities and so on. I think there's a lot where we could work more closely and that we are already engaged in. We have been working on energy sector for many years. Renewable energy. We have been supporting the African government, South African government, in setting up the IPP rounds on renewable energies and energy efficiency and stuff. And it's actually a Danish company, Vestas, who's supplying a third of all the windmills in Africa, South Africa. I think that's also a sign of, I mean, Denmark having some competences that can be used here. And now we have engaged in water because the South African government came to the Danish government and said, you have been in Denmark, perceived water as a scarce resource for many years and have been working on efficiency and so on. Can you do something, together with us, in assisting us getting in the right direction? You can, for instance, say in Copenhagen, even though the water pipes are 100 years old, we only waste around 7% of water. Down in South Africa, it's a bit more than 40% on average. So there's a lot to be gained.
That's an incredible amount of wastage when you consider that both water and electricity are essential resources for the country.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in terms of, for instance, looking at the reduction, doing a comparison with Denmark having 7% wastage despite having 100-year-old pipes with its infrastructure and South Africa losing approximately 40%, what types of interventions are you hoping to put in place?
Well, we have agreed with the DWS, the ministry down here, that we should focus on three areas. Urban water, which actually means water efficiency, trying to reduce the water leakages, and sort of the whole mandate is very much also a management thing. It's not just, as you can say, our parts are 100 years. It's not just new equipment. It's also maintaining and planning and risk assessment and so on. So that's one part. Then it's groundwater. South Africa is keen to diverse water resources. And groundwater is very resilient to drought, for instance, which we're experiencing now. Denmark is 100% dependent on groundwater, so that's, of course, something we know about. And then the last thing is water and industries. A lot of the production, especially in agro-processing, are using a lot of water. By the way, also energy, so these two goes very close together.
Yes, they do.
We just had your Minister for Agriculture in Denmark, where we took him to see an abattoir, where they are really efficient in their slaughtering processes. The aim in Denmark is also that our diet should actually be 100% water neutral, so you use the liquid from the milk in your production, you don't use any water at all. We're not completely there yet, but I mean, working on it. And that's definitely something where the private sector down here wants to invest. And what we have sensed is that there is an increasing interest. Also in terms of energy, we have a lot of big private companies in South Africa looking into bioenergy, for instance, which is also something we've been working on. So I think what we are also trying to do is, in Denmark, we have a strong tradition for the private sector and the public sector to work closely together. Also on issues, for instance, like water issues, where you can say it is a core task of the public sector to deliver water to its people, but the private sector can really go in and do that. And I think this is where South Africa still have something to work on, and I think you are doing it. You can, for instance, see it in this renewable energy program. It's privately funded, and South Africa is buying the cheapest wind in the world at the moment, the cheapest wind energy.
Those are all good points to note, and particularly the partnerships between both the private and public sector to make sure that things move along. Denmark is renowned for numerous aid programs across Africa. Can you share with us some of the development programs that it's currently involved with? And are there any specific ones that apply to women for their benefit?
Yes, we have been working in Africa for many, many years. You can say we are unfortunately also in a situation now where we're actually cutting down a little bit in some countries because it makes sense, because the countries like South Africa has already done the transition. Ghana is moving into another phase. They're also moving up to a middle-income country. So, of course, we then phase out our development activities. And we are also cutting down because we have had to cut our development budget. So you can say we are looking at different ways of cooperation, very much focused on economic cooperation, but then on more sort of classical development cooperation, we are focusing more and more on countries with conflict. So we'll be working in Mali, up Burkina Faso, we're also working in South Sudan and Somalia. We are, of course, also working with development in some of the poorer African countries that are not in a conflict situation. We do have gender-specific projects, support to civil society organizations. We are a strong supporter on UNFPA and UN Women. But the core is actually that we are supposed to do gender mainstreaming. So all our activities should be analyzed in terms of how they affect gender equalities and women's situation.
Ambassador, one more question that I'd like to ask you in terms of the work and the areas that you focus on is, being a female ambassador in Africa sometimes touches sensitive points, which be it culture, religion, tradition. In your experience, do you think that women ambassadors face different challenges to their male counterparts?
It's not my feeling that they do down here. And I must admit, in terms of looking around in the world, this is perhaps one of the countries with most female ambassadors as presented. We have very many female ambassadors. You see the British High Commissioner, the Canadian High Commissioner, the Indian, the French, the Dutch, the Danish, the Norwegian. So there are many female ambassadors here. And I don't get that feeling, actually. And I think that could perhaps also be because I'm sure in other countries it's different. So I don't get that sense that it's more difficult being a female ambassador or that there are other challenges. So I've never had the feeling that there were issues I could not touch, not at all.
Well, I think that's a very important point, and it also means that the way things are moving, that we're overcoming issues of patriarchy, that women are being recognized, and particularly in the foreign affairs space, and being able to conduct and to their business and to represent their countries whilst they're doing that. Today, we're talking to the ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter, and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa, Mrs. Trina Tugerson. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, the ambassador spoke about her history, her experiences, training within the economic space, to moving on to working in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And she also spoke about the various aspects under cooperation between South Africa and Denmark pertaining to water, energy, particularly renewable energy, agriculture, and health. Now, Ambassador, Womanity, Woman in Unity is all about gender equality, and increasingly it's become more of a global focus. And as such, building female leadership capacity is more important for the future of women, both in Africa as well as across the rest of the world. How do you see female leadership, whether it's in the parliament, states, schools, business, or any other field?
Well, there's no doubt that it's, we might be doing better, but there's still a long way to go. And it's absolutely key that we have more female leaders, both private sector, public sector, and the political spheres and so on. It's the whole point about getting all talent in there. So if you only focus when you appoint leaders on 50% of the population, the men, then of course you lose out on some of the best talent. You don't get the right competition, you don't get the right everybody in there in the game. And I think that's really key. Then the whole thing about diversity, I think we all know that. Being in groups where there are diversity is more interesting. It gives about new ideas, it's different views, different perspectives. And that's what we need. That's what is very important. When I was back in the ministry and working with the World Bank back in Denmark, we were working with the World Bank in Washington, we did a sort of economic empowerment work together with them. And then it's all the time when you work in the economic sphere, I would say, there are so many issues that are on the table, and economic growth, equality in total, not just gender equality. And you really need to try and keep this issue on the agenda. And we try to argue that this makes sense. I'm an economist. It should make economic sense that we have more female leaders in both private and public sectors. And it was really difficult, actually, for us. It intuitively, analytically, it makes sense, but we really couldn't prove it on the hardcore data. But the IMF has actually, I think a couple of weeks ago, they came up with a new study where it was actually proven that the companies that have female leadership, not just female, but that where females are part of the leadership, have a better result. And that was sort of across country. It's a really big analytical study based on concrete data that the IMF has from the private sector. And I think this is really important, because if we need to, you can see, especially in the private sector, and I think that goes in all countries, we have a challenge. And then for the private companies, they need to make money. And if they see, and the boards understand and accept that you need female leadership also, not just, but also female leadership, because it makes economic sense, then it will start to happen. So I think this study was really important, and it's something that we should use to the fullest in order to sort of get to the complete transition.
I agree with you. When you've got some empirical evidence, it needs to be circulated to the right ears in order for them to understand and appreciate the economic value. Because, as you say, the bottom line of every company within the private sector is with a commercial lens and looking at how to make money. And I also think that what you said earlier was very interesting. Yes, we want to have female leadership, but female leaders are not just going to appear. It requires nurturing, and it means looking at things from a middle management point of view, applying succession planning in order to build up that capability for them to move ahead and to become those leaders. Ambassador, whilst we're on the topic of gender equality, what would you say the state of gender equality is in Denmark?
Well, in Denmark, I think we are in a good position, but it's not good enough. We are doing very well in terms of health and education and so on. But when it comes to political influence, I mean, females in parliament and in ministerial positions, and when it comes to female managers, actually both in public and private sector, we are not doing good enough if we compare to, for instance, our other Nordic countries. There was a World Economic Forum report, a gender gap report from 2015, and we were number 14, which is not so bad if you consider globally. But our other Nordic countries, which I mean, Norway and Sweden, which is what we normally compare with, they are ranked like 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So, and especially the report told us that it is in terms of the political. I mean, in Parliament, we only have 37% of members that are female, and also actually only a few ministers out of our cabinet. We also are struggling in the private sector, in both in the board and in management positions. And even you can say in the public sector, we have a third woman in leadership positions. It's something that the government is working on in the ministry, Danish Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Our AGG has said this as one of his organizational goals, that he wants more female leaders. We are, in terms of ambassadors, only around 20% female ambassadors.
Yeah. I recall reading an article towards the end of last year from the French in terms of what they were doing. They were wanting to aim to have 50% representation of women within the ambassadorial space. And from a South African point of view, we are ranked approximately 8th in the world with, I think, 42% representation of women within the parliamentary space. Although, interesting to note, I find that in the political space, often we see higher numbers of women represented within the government sector. But within the private sector, regardless of country, they're always low, sitting on, I think, approximately 22-25%.
Yes, I think that is globally. And it is also true what you say in terms of leadership in public sector and in politics. Denmark can definitely learn something from South Africa because you are doing better. What we have tried in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because we were asking ourselves, what is going on here? Because we recruit 50%. And if you look at our universities, at the moment, the women that leave university on average are actually having better grades than their male counterparts. So what is actually happening? And we tried to, this was something that I was leading when I was head of our human resources department when we started this campaign. So we said, what is going on? We recruit 50-50 and they are equally good. Perhaps even the female candidates are a little bit better than the men. Huh? But I think we found that there are so many different factors playing in. One thing that we got very curious about that was this unconscious bias that you have. There are many studies showing that if musicians that are going to be accepted to a band, if they play sort of the violin, they play where those that assess them cannot see them, then the women have a better chance of actually getting elected than if not. There's the same in the universities. There was a study done the same kind of article was sent to different reviewers. One way it was a female name that should have been the author of the article, and another way it was a male. It was the same article, but the male got more acceptances than the female. And this is not, I mean, I don't, a lot of it is not something that we do on purpose, but sort of this bias thing that we then tried always to challenge our managers. If you prefer a man for this team leader's position, why is it you were doing that? Because it can't be because he is the best, and then he should definitely get the position, no doubt about it. But have you thought about different attitudes? Is there a bias that is chipping in so that you do not choose his female colleague for that position? And I think that's something where you can say, as a manager, you should always keep this in mind. And it should, of course, always be the best person for that position, but you should be able to challenge yourself on your assessment of the person. So that's one thing. I think for us in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where we have to move around, it's, of course, also, it is still a challenge that for a lot of the women in the ministry, they also have husbands with careers. It's it seems to be more likely that some of our male colleagues, you can say at least for some years, if you have small kids, it's perhaps nice to have a bit more time at home, then you can travel with your husband. As a female ambassador, you don't have that privilege. I also have 3 kids. My husband is having his own career, can fortunately work from here, but so there are a lot of different issues at play. So I think it should be diversified, the approach that you're taking. Sometimes I think also the women should be nudged a little bit. Again, being head of HR, I had a lot of young male colleagues come and tell me that they were absolutely excellent at their job and that they should definitely be promoted. Whereas a lot of my female colleagues, they were a little bit more humble and not pushing so much. And I think if you have ambitions and if you are good as a female, you should also yourself push and say, I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to take that challenge. Yeah?
I think you're absolutely right. So it comes through from both ways. It's from the individual in terms of acknowledging their ambitions, acknowledging that there is no glass ceiling, that they can push and forge ahead. But then at the other side, as an individual, you have to overcome that element of unconscious bias from a managerial perspective, where, as you say, and it happens both from a male and female point of view. I've also read some of those studies where the male candidate is perceived to be stronger than a female candidate. Yeah. Ambassador, in the next couple of weeks, I can't believe it's happening so soon, from the 16th to the 19th of May in Copenhagen, Denmark, there is going to be the Women Deliver Conference, which I understand is one of the largest conferences on health, rights, well-being of girls and women in the last decade. And it has a specific focus on how to implement the Sustainable Development Goals, which were established in 2015, on how they matter most for women, with a specific agenda on health, particularly maternal, sexual, reproductive health, and rights. Can you tell us more about the conference and what it means to Denmark to host the event?
Yeah, well, we are, of course, very honored and very pleased to be able to host this event. It is an important conference. It's co-hosted by UN Women and UNFPA. We expect 5,000 to 6,000 participants. More than 2,000 organizations from more than 150 countries. There will be a lot of young people. There will be journalists. There will be private sector from multiple industries and other agencies, of course, also. And then there'll be parliamentarians and ministers. We expect the South African Minister for Women, Susan Shabangu, to be there. I was fortunate enough to host for a lunch the minister and her staff and a lot of the civil society organizations here from South Africa that are going up there. And they were very, very eager. And they were really also, dedicated, they were preparing very well. They see this as an opportunity to learn, to network, to push. I mean, this thing about all the time keeping this issue on the agenda. I think the fact that Denmark hosts the country is, of course, also underlining that this, that gender equality has been something that we've been working for many, many years. And I'll say, when we talk about the economic focus, on the Danish embassy here in South Africa, we are also focusing very much on gender, human rights, and especially gender. This year, we are working together with the other Nordic countries on a campaign, hashtag Gender Nordics SA. Our embassy is looking very much into gender-based violence. We are working with some good NGOs like Love Life and Sangha Gender Justice and Brothers for Life, and have been doing for quite some time. So I mean, what they are, all the South African delegation that was here with me for lunch, we were of course saying, what do you want out of this conference? There are so many countries around the world. So they were all saying, we should talk about implementation. We have so many plans. We have a lot of good agreements on reducing gender-based violence, assistance, maternal mortality and stuff like that, but we need more focus on implementation. So I think that is what this conference is, where it can be key, even more focus on implementation, how to do it in practice.
Yes, as you say, it is very important. South Africa, I think, is very well renowned for its progressive policies, but I do think that we are underperforming in terms of implementation of some of those aspects. We could have the best laid plans, but if those plans aren't put into effect, it almost makes them redundant. So I'm glad to hear that there will be a strong emphasis within the implementation space.
Definitely. There's no doubt that South Africa has all the, most, if not all, legislation in place in terms of gender equality. You have the most beautiful constitution in the whole world if we look at human rights. But it is true, but I guess also because of poverty, there is still room for a lot of improvement in terms of implementation. And I think especially the gender-based violence is a key issue where it's not so good here in South Africa.
Agreed, and it's something which is so unnecessary, and whether it is overcoming issues from a cultural point of view, that all of those points must be addressed. Today, we're talking to the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa, Ms. Trine Tigersen.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka, on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 902. Today, we're talking to the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa, Ms. Trine Tigersen. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of our conversation, the Ambassador spoke about, from a work point of view, in terms of improving on gender equality, looking at aspects of diversity, the negative effects of unconscious bias, and the need for women to become more proactive in terms of asserting themselves for their specific ambitions. We also spoke about the forthcoming conference, which is happening in Copenhagen, Denmark, with Women Deliver, where we have a significant representation of women from 150 different countries with a focus on implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Ambassador, we're now going into the last segment of our show. One of the questions that I ask all my guests who have made tremendous achievements in their respective fields of expertise is about the factors contributing to their success. Some talk about the hard work that they've invested in. Others talk about the influence of their mothers. Some speak of perseverance. In your opinion, what have been the key drivers to your success?
I would, of course, also say hard work, no doubt about it. Also cooperation, that I really do like to work with people. This is what drives me. I think a good day, that's if a team does something together. I think that's really fun. And of course, making results, getting results there. But when all this said, there's also no doubt that you need a lot of luck. You need the timing. You need the network. And when I say timing, you also need to be at the right place at the right time. So I think some of it is something that you can attribute to your own efforts, and other things are definitely something where you got lucky. Yeah? And I think that's important. That's almost always important when you succeed in something. You also need a bit of luck. There's no doubt about that.
That's almost the magic that makes things happen.
Yeah, I think so too.
Can you share with us some of the pivotal moments in your life growing up and what influenced you in those years?
Well, I think I'm from the countryside. I'm out of a group of siblings. I'm the oldest one. And I have two sisters and a brother. And I think we had a really, really good and safe childhood. We were all encouraged to do our best in school. Neither my mother or my father have any academic degrees. But in Denmark, you have a system where school is free and all universities are free as well. You get in based on your grades from primary school and from high school. And you even get a subsidy when you study, something that is like a salary you don't need to back to the state. And that's why all my, me and my two sisters and my brother have academic degrees and are having a good career in different fields now. And this is one of the strong things I would say about the Danish society, that you get the chance. My parents would never have afforded to pay for us to go to university, all of us, no doubt about it. But they supported us all along and said, you must work hard and you must do your best and then you can succeed. So that support, I think that was key. That support from my parents and then living in a society where you're actually able to do it even though you come from non-academic background or don't have rich parents or whatever. I think that sort of gives you the belief that you can actually do it. If you really strive, you can do quite a few things. I think that's sort of still part of my backbone, and it's also something that I'm trying to tell my children. Now they are perhaps in a, you can say, a more privileged position in terms of what we can assist them with, but without their own effort and hard work, it's not going to help them anything.
And what you said, for me, it's also about these enabling factors that we have in our lives, whether it's support, drive, nurturing coming through from parents, but at the same time being in a society and a system like Denmark, which gives you the means that you can go forth and achieve. You're given these enabling components that once you have utilized them, then it's up to you to move on. But it's not a case of being denied something because you can't afford it. What would you say had the biggest impact on you to make you the person that you are today?
Well, that's without my husband. I met him when we studied, so we have been together now for more than 20 years.
Congratulations.
thank you. And then, of course, my kids. I mean, that's my whole base. I have three kids. I have twin boys that are now 10 and a daughter that is 14. So they are growing up fast. But that, of course, that whole family life and sort of always getting things into perspective when it's a bit tough at work and when you get home to your family and you know what's really important. So I think definitely.
And what would you say has been the best lesson that you've learned throughout your career so far?
Well, I think it is that you should be ready to take up challenges. And also when you're a little bit nervous, if you can actually do it. And again, there I have a really strong supporter in my husband who's always saying, of course you can, you just go for it. But for instance, I remember when I accepted the position as head of human resources in Copenhagen, I knew the organization, I knew the Ministry of Foreign Affairs very well. I knew where we were going, but I was not professional in HR and I was a little bit nervous if this was really a challenge that I could take up. It's a position that is very difficult in our ministry. My kids were still a bit younger than they are today. I also wanted to be with them. I knew it was going to be hard work. I was willing to do that. But could I actually succeed in it? Before I accepted, I was really sort of, But then when I said, okay, sometimes you need to take a chance. You give it your best. You get all the assistance and you're trying to find those that you need to cooperate with in order to make this a success. And then just do it. And he did well in HR and the team when I was there. But it could also, I mean, it could have failed. And, yeah, you need to be willing to sort of take a chance once in a while and say, I'm going to try it.
Well, we're very glad that you are trying it and that you have taken this opportunity to come through to South Africa and experience our country and also to be able to share the knowledge that you have with us to help drive the economy further. Ambassador, I'd like it if you could please use this platform to send a message of hope to all those women in Africa that due to circumstances, gender equality may not be the first item on their agenda, but rather the daily struggle of taking care of their family, raising children, and putting food on the table for them is a more pressurizing reality.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, because you're absolutely right. For a lot of women across this continent, but also in other continents, it's not the matter of female leadership or how many female managers do you have in the private sector or the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It doesn't matter at all. But I would say, in terms of looking across, when we have seen the implementation on the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals that we have now sort of in the UN, are looking now into a new phase with the Sustainable Development Goals, we are doing better. I mean, more women, you can say less women, mothers die giving birth. Kids actually have a higher chance of surviving also in the young age. More girls are coming to school. There's gender equality there. So there are definitely something where there are a lot of progress there. But it's also clear, especially in the conflict zones and in the extreme poverty situation, then women are under pressure. At the same time, it's also clear, and then we go back to whether gender equality matters or does not matter. I actually think it matters also in very poor households. Many studies clearly indicate that if the mother, have the power over family resources, then the outcome is better for the whole family, for the kids and for the whole family. And that is gender equality. That's a power relation within the family. So even in the poorest families, it is important that the women also get to choose for the kids and get to prioritize the resources, so that a lot of it goes to food and schools for the kids and so on. So I think you're right. It's not about the big numbers on female leadership that matters to a very, very poor household or a very poor mother. But I still think that gender equality matters on all levels. And I think this is where support structures around also the more poor areas, from schools to health clinics and so on, should also work on gender equality in the poor areas.
Well, thank you very much, Ambassador. We really appreciated you taking the time out to talk to us today. And we wish you every success in your tenure whilst you're in South Africa.
Thank you very much for having me. It was interesting talking to you.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Denmark to South Africa, Ms. Trine Thugesen.